Every team, every topic, everywhere. This is Believe.
Welcome back. This is Believe in K-pop and this is your host Anthea Isaac. Hope you're all doing good and staying safe. Well, I did promise you that I will be bringing up new guests and we will have more fun conversations. So finally, an interview just happened. So this episode is definitely not me ranting about my favorites or doing some random rants. So we really have a guest this time and it's going to be a fun interview. So before I talk about the interviewee in the episode, I just wanted to mention what the theme that I'm going to follow this month. So we have the Women's Day coming up this March. So my aim is to bring a lot of women interviewees in the arena where they are journalists, they can be dancers, they can be artists, and anybody who's there in the field to share their experience with K-pop and working with the artists and celebrities. So the first on the list is definitely none other than Bhavana Agarwal.
Hi, Anthea. How are you?
Thank you. Of course.
This is finally happening.
Yeah, talk about that. The world needs to know. Guys, we have been planning this interview for a year. More than a year. Oh my God.
I was about to say it was more than a year, actually.
Exactly.
So much back and forth. And finally, it is happening. I am very, very good. Yeah, thank you so much. I'm very excited.
Yeah, it is definitely an honor having you because, as I mentioned earlier, you have been in my radar for quite a long time. And I really wanted to feature you and talk a lot about K-pop and your experience with K-pop and K-drama actors. But unfortunately, yeah. We had so many setbacks. Like, guys, so much. Like, I got sick. I went to meet a doctor. She had to meet a friend. Then I broke my phone. And here we are.
Yeah, and like the most trivial thing, huh? I feel it was the most trivial thing that has happened, but I feel this was the right time for it to happen. That's why it's happening.
Exactly. Now. And I'm also wearing a maroon tee and you're also wearing a red tee inside.
Yeah, like pink. Oh, yeah. Pink. It's kind of same color.
Yeah, so guys, of course, you can get to know, like, we are vibing already, but it is definitely my duty to introduce you to our listeners worldwide. If you are a listener from India, I'm pretty sure that you already know her. She's no stranger to K-pop journalism in India. And I'm pretty sure that people around the world are also noticing you because your works are stunning and very engaging. So, yeah. Right. So, a very brief introduction. Bhavana is a chief sub-editor of India Today and she has been in the journalism field for almost 10 years. You started your journalism journey in 2015 and you have been an entertainment journalist, an assistant editor in Bollywood Bubble, and you know, like, building up your resume, you are here doing some awesome interviews. And to name a few, you have interviewed Park Hyun Bin, Yeonwoo, Astro's Yeonwoo, Kim Nam-gil, and Park Min-young. And finally, your latest work that I really enjoy. Like, I love the actor so much. So it's definitely Bam 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 Bam. Ji Jang-wook.
Yeah.
Oh, yes. So that is the power of manifestation, guys. Right.
That's true.
Yes.
I'll tell you the story behind it once we get into it.
Yeah. We are definitely listening to that. And it's not just the K-drama actors. We also have a list of K-pop artists in your interviewee list. That's 17. We have Yongjae did his very first Indian interview with you. and we have A Pink, the entire Squid Game cast, and then TNX, and not to forget, you interviewed Chris Evans.
That's true. And Ryan Reynolds.
Oh,
why are we forgetting him?
Do you know that Blake Lively is my celebrity crush?
Oh, is it? I told him the same thing, because she's also one of my most favorite actresses. I really like her for a long time. But what I like her most is for her personality on social media. You know, like, I like her as a person more. So I told him that. That's for sure. So we share a lot of commonalities. Andrea.
Yes. Yeah, we are already sounding like besties. So we also have some Desi interviews. You have interviewed Samantha, Varun, Ranbir. And my personal favorite is definitely Vijay Sethupathi, because he's from the South.
Yeah.
He is from the South. And Alia Bhatt. And the list just goes on. These are just the very few things that I can limit in a page. So it's not just the interviewee list or the media outlet you belong to, but it's the way you make your interviews happen. I have personally witnessed a few interviews that are just a few minutes long, and you try to concise most of your questions inside it, and you just make it very crisp and very effective. So your knowledge about the actors and artists have also inspired the interviewees themselves, that they get more involved with the interview and they start sharing most of their points and all that. So the way you make them feel home despite being in India, and sharing their culture with them, doing a lot of research on them, and sharing about Indian fans to them. So making India available in the radar of all the celebrities, so that they can make it a point to visit India, or make sure that they remember the fans in India whenever they are promoting things and all that. So, yeah, that is...
Ante, I feel you have just done too much tarif right now. So I'm too overwhelmed. But also, I feel like you will agree to me. Every time we get a chance, we do want to put the Indian fans on the map, because I feel that we have a solid fan following here in India, which is unable to reach out to the actors abroad. And when I mean abroad, I also mean Korea, West, in
yes.
general, like outside of India. So I feel that it is our response. We take it with a sense of responsibility that we need to tell them, listen, there is a fucking huge fandom here in India. You have to. Like, every time I talk to them, I'm just like, please come to India. Just please come to India. I've read comments where people are like, this girl keeps inviting people to India. I'm just like, yeah, that's like my part-time job.
Yeah, even I remember doing a few interviews where I did promise them, like, I can be your tourist guide. I will get you that chicken masala, the naan, and all that new authentic stuff. So that will be in India next year. So
I do that. I'm just like, listen, I'll get everything done. I'll send you recommendations. Just come. We'll take care of you. Just come.
Exactly. So
yeah,
it's so lovely. Yeah. That is you for the people, and I'm pretty sure that they will be able to understand how much of a great impact that you have been doing in the journalism field. So I'm very happy, genuinely very happy, to finally meet you and have you as a guest for our podcast. So welcome again.
Thank you. I am so overwhelmed, genuinely, and this is literally simply my pleasure, honestly. And I've been looking forward to this, and this is happening. I'm really happy, genuinely.
Wow, that's so great. So, yes, we are just going to start with the very first question that has been going on my mind for quite a long time. So, you are a journalist. You have been here for almost a decade. So, how did this journey start? When did you decide that journalism was your platform? How did you think that to begin this way? Yeah.
actually, I can't put back, point out to one age or one phase where I thought that I wanted to be a journalist. I knew I wanted to be on camera. I thought that I the only best way could have been to be in the news. I don't know why I thought that, because maybe at home I just saw television, news was going on, and I thought, you know what, this is a great way of being on television and still be doing an impactful job. So I think that is where I decided, and it was very early on. I think I was in my 10th grade or 9th grade. I knew I wanted to do this. I just did not know how, because no one in my family has ever, I mean, in their wildest dream, thought of journalism or media or entertainment as a background, right? So yeah, that was the case. But then eventually I found out about this BMM, which is mass media course, and I did that. And then ACJ happened. I don't know how. It was all destiny. It just happened on the way. It's not like I had those bucket list or planned those. It just happened. But I always knew I wanted to be an entertainment journalist. It was, I mean, you know, you just know it like from within that is your calling. And maybe one of the things was I was a huge Salman Khan fan as a child. Okay. But I'm also one of those people, you know, who cannot, I'm not one of those fans who can stand and wait for the star or shout out their names and like for wait endlessly. Like, I cannot do all of that. So I always thought that I will become a journalist and interview him. That was my best way of sort of like, you know.
I did the same. The main reason I started writing K-pop is I can get to talk to K-pop artists.
So see, so exactly, okay. So I am one of those people as well. Like I can't be a fan in that way. Are you understand? Like I'm a fan, but I can't be a fan who is just happy with that one glance. Like I can't do that. I want to talk. Like, you know, it's like that. So that is why it started. Then of course I was very lucky to find the best organizations to start my career with, like especially in my entertainment journey. I started with Pinkvilla, which gave me a huge platform. It really encouraged me to sort of go after everything I wanted to do. Pushed me to do videos when, trust me, I cannot go back and watch those videos, Antia, because I look so horrible in those videos. But kudos to the team there, everyone at Pinkvilla, because they pushed me and they were like, it's okay. All you need is confidence. Everything else can be groomed. You can be groomed. But it is the confidence that has to come naturally, and that is what happened. And it is only while I was sort of quitting Pinkvilla during that phase is when I got into K-pop. And oh my god, then there was like this transition that has happened. It is funny because my first ever international trip was Seoul. I mean, at that point, I wasn't a huge like fan, I was just getting into it. And after that, nothing has been constant, it's just been amazing. So that's But that, I mean, it's been like, I think now it will be my 6th year where I have been like into K-pop. Yeah, I mean, that is how it started.
I remember Karishma narrating a similar story. She also mentioned how she visited Seoul when she had no idea about K-pop. And then she came back, then she got nowhere, and she was like, get me back to Seoul and let me buy some stuff.
So Karishma and I worked together when I also went to Seoul. And I remember when I was going to Seoul, so she had told me that, you know, you're going to love it, the culture there and everything is going to be amazing. And I was just like, okay, maybe, I don't know. I mean, I had no clue. It was my first international trip, so I did not know what to expect. But I still remember I called Karishma at 1 a.m. Seoul time, which was, I'm guessing, like 9:30 here. I called her and I was like, bro, you were right. This is an amazing place. Everyone is so courteous. Everyone is so nice, so humble. And I was really enamored. So I remember that is how it all happened. But she played a very big role because I feel that she was the one who, for me to get into K-dramas, because she kept talking about what's wrong with Secretary Kim to a point where I was like, listen, I have to watch it. And when I started watching it, and there has been no looking back since then.
Way back. Amazing. So, yeah, I have a question that says, what inspired you to be a journalist? And you just mentioned how you wanted to talk to Salman Khan. And are you still in the process of doing that?
No, I've gotten over that. I did speak to him. I have spoken to him. It was not the most amazing conversation. Let me put it like that. But also I feel that since then I have my, you know, like Sugar says, your dreams can change.
Mm-hmm.
I feel that my dreams have changed a lot since then. That part, what inspired me to come to become a journalist is no longer my dream. That has changed, you know. Mm-hmm. So even if today I get that opportunity to have that sit down interview, like a proper one, I still feel that wouldn't be, I mean, it wouldn't mean as much as it would have 3 years back or 4 years back.
So you are a K-pop fan. You love watching K-dramas. And now you have the opportunity to talk with the artists and celebrities. So how do you finally feel just your experience?
You know, I mean, the superficial answer would be that I love the fact that I get to connect with them and talk to them about their process. But if I have to answer it very genuinely, I also feel that the interviews really do not give you too much scope to interact for a long format. Like, for example, if I am talking to... I've gotten those opportunities very few, but most of the interviews are like 5-minute interviews, 7-minute interviews, which include translators. So you can hardly ask 2 questions, sometimes 3. How much can you ask in those 5 minutes, you know? So most of the time, and then you, of course, one of the questions will obviously be about India because that's the one opportunity you have got. You want to mention India in that opportunity. So aapke 3 questions mein se ek question to India ke liye chala gaya. Ab 2 mein 1, you want the show's name or the character to be mentioned because that is what they would also want. So that opportunity is also gone. Now you only have that 1 question which can be different or unique. So it's challenging in that way. It's very challenging in that way because every time I'm confused. I don't know how to ask everything that I want in that like 2 question or 3 question. But again, I mean, the fact that I get to connect to them, I think that is, I mean, it's a beginning. It's the first step. Maybe in the coming years, that 5 minutes will change into 10 to 15 to 20. You never know.
And I really wish you the very best to have such long and lovely conversations. And
yeah, I feel I that's why I want to learn Korean on professional level, because I feel that will really help connect to them more organically. Because at the end of the day, I believe that the translation, I mean, a lot of things gets lost in translation. And that is true, you know. So, yeah, I mean, I'm going to look forward to learning Korean at a professional capacity.
So talking about being a fan and being a journalist, I'm sure that you will agree that there is a very thin line when it comes to being a fangirl and then being a professional. So how do you handle it whenever you get your interviews done or when you get to interview your most favorite actor?
So it's very interesting that you ask me this, because recently someone told me, Bhavna, I feel that you have this certain kind of a blush when you're talking to Korean actors. And I'm like, guys, one, it's not blush, it's just I smile like that. And it is for everyone. Like when I smile, it looks like I'm blushing, but I am not. Secondly, I mean, I just feel it is difficult, right? Like if you admire someone's work so much, and if you, and I believe you are also a very expressive person. So I am also a very expressive person. And for an expressive person, we get enthused about everything, right? So it comes on our face. So I think the challenge for me is only that. Because for me, I never have a problem having that very... that line, that boundary where you know that I might be a fan of someone, but I'll still, if a certain question needs to be asked, which might not be taken well by the actor, I will still go ahead and ask if it is important enough. Like, you know, and I'm saying this in general, like it is not something that I will avoid asking. But at the same time, I've never had a problem with that. My only problem sometimes is I'm so expressive that it just looks like I'm fangirling when I'm not. Sometimes I'm not even fangirling. I'm just naturally asking a question, but it's so expressive that people feel that are ye bhi fan hai. Sometimes I'm not. Like, you know. For example, I still remember, like, of course, who doesn't like Chow? Mm-hmm. We all, like, he is one of the most charming personalities. Now I'm asking him for example, like, you know, are you even aware that you have such a popularity in India?
Yeah, I
remember that. My point is, I will have a smile. I will smile and I will ask. It looks like, oh, I'm fangirling. Sometimes I have a problem if people think that, because I'm just like, I'm not even like fangirling on video. But yeah, it's a very fine line. I know that. Sometimes it's difficult also to not be like someone who is admired. For example, Sojun, I think it was pretty clear that I did gush about him, because, I mean, I'm sorry, he was the reason why I entered the K-drama world. So, I mean, I started off with his drama, right? So I was like, I have all the rights to fangirl at that point. And anyway, honestly, it was a round table. You knew you only can ask one question. So in that one question, I felt I had all rights to be like fangirl. So I choose my days, like I choose my moments. And I'm like, that day I knew I'm going to sound like a fangirl, but I was okay with it. I was like, it's okay. I can be a fangirl.
I do agree. Like, even if we don't utter those words, the way we are smiling, like right now I'm smiling at you. I'm actually, my cheeks are hurting.
Yeah, see, because we are very expressive people, right? So it just comes very naturally to us. It's not like we try. Like, I was as enthusiastic as I was for Park Sojun. I was very enthused about Park Yoon Bin, because I had loved her so much in Extraordinary Attorney Move. I remember I had the same smile, but at that time no one said that you are blushing and you are being, because it was a female actress. but I mean, I get it. Sometimes it's difficult to not fangirl. Because also, I mean, you've admired them from a distance for that long. You know, you will only get that one chance to talk to them. And you know, and it's not even a lengthy interview. You know, you will hardly get like two or three questions. And you want to tell them that you like their work. I mean, I'm sorry.
Like, I think they are totally fine with that.
So I think it's not about them not feeling okay. Who wouldn't want to hear that this person who is actually interviewing them also follows their work and admire their work, right? But I feel we overthink in our head, because we come from a profession, or we come from that line of thought where we feel like, okay, we are journalists, we are supposed to behave in a certain way. So I think we are being overcritical ourselves about how we conduct ourselves over them, because I mean, I have never had a moment where the actor would feel bad about the fact that I'm saying that, you know, that I like your work. Of course, they will be more than happy to hear that, right? Because I remember I let go of that hesitant when I was doing the interview for The Rose. because I, in the beginning itself, I told them that I really enjoy your music and I am a Black Rose, because I thought that that was my first time talking to them. I wanted them to be comfortable while they are talking to me. And I mean, I don't know, each one has their own process, but I feel that the moment I tell you that, you know, I really like your work a lot, I really enjoy your work a lot, I feel that really bridges that gap, right? Because they know that I am not someone who has not followed their work, or I'm not someone who is just doing this interview because, oh, I want to do it. I actually like your work. That's why I want to talk to you about your work. And I feel that really makes you comfortable. I mean, that's how I look at it. And that's the only reason why I decided to tell them in the beginning that, you know, I am a Black Rose, because I felt that they would know that, okay, she knows about us enough to do this interview well, you know?
Yes, exactly. That also happened to me. Like, once when I mentioned something and a group was like, you did your homework, you know a lot about us. And I'm like, of course, I follow you guys. And
I mean, and I think you will agree, because you must have also had these moments where you realize that these people actually have no idea that we really like their work. Mm-hmm. And we really, I mean, there's a huge fandom here who follows their work like crazily. Yes. And there's a loyal fan base here. I don't think they're aware.
Yeah, that's a lovely segment. I love this segment about fangirling and journalism.
Now, if you're a fangirl, no cap about that.
So, can you share any memorable moments from your interviews that you still remember and be very happy about it, be very proud about it?
I think 17, of course, because that was like my first. It was not my first, because before that I did Squid Game. But 17, like, just the K-pop, just the magnanimity of that interview, exactly, for me was amazing. And all of them were so, so sweet. I cannot even tell you the word. I remember the first question when I asked, I don't know if it looks like on camera or not, but I was so nervous. I was shivering from my, like, my legs were shivering, because they're the big, but they're one of the biggest groups in the world, and I'm talking to them. And this was my first, like, a setup like that. And 13 people, I was scared. I was just too scared. But kudos to them. They really did make me feel very comfortable. I felt that there was a very, like, nice energy, which I think was amazing. Like, so them for sure. Like, I think that was one of my best interviews. The Rose. I the reason why I mentioned The Rose is because, you know, every time you do an interview and you have a smile on your face knowing that it went well, the only two times perhaps that I felt that strongly is one when I did 17 and the other when I did The Rose interviews.
Wow, lovely. So you did mention that you would share how you got the interview with Ji Chang-ho.
No, what I wanted to share was how, because you mentioned manifesting, right? So I wanted to share that, because I remember when Welcome to Samdalgi started, and of course, I mean, Ji Chang Wook, I keep mentioning this, but I love him because I have watched Healer. Like, I have forgotten the number of times I've watched Healer. It's my go-to show. Like, I love that show. I admire that show so much. So it meant a lot for me, okay? So I remember I reached out and I was like, can we do an interview? And they said, no, he's not available for an interview. So I was like, okay, but please, can we try? Because, and this was probably one of those rare times when I actually pushed back and I was like, can we please still try? I'm sorry, I know that if there was an availability, you would have given me that interview. But can we still push for it? Because I don't want to mention this, but I am mentioning it. I wrote it on the mail that I am a huge fan. I have loved his work since Healer. this would mean a lot to me at this point. So please, can we try? And of course, there was no reply for at least a month. And one day, suddenly, I woke up to a mail which said that, "Hi, Bhavna, we are happy to inform you that we have finally found some availability for Ji Chong book." I was so excited.
Oh my God, I am about to cry. I know that feeling. I know that.
I cried, actually. I cried because I was like, you know, I did not know it would happen because I was already told it will not happen. And yeah, but it happened. So I was very, very happy.
Wow. So happy for you. So happy for you.
That's why I said manifestation. That's why I said manifestation, because I really did. I believe I really manifested that. Yeah.
And you are doing great things. Yes.
But that is exactly what happened with Busang also. I have written that in my post, right? So when the Rose interview happened and everything, that interview went well and everything. But I remember I reached out to their team and also the Book My Show team here that, you know, if when they are in Mumbai, will we ever get a chance to just meet them? Because I would love to at least just meet in person, because we've already done the interview, right? And they were like, no, it seems difficult or whatever. And I remember I told everyone around me that, if God is there, I will bump into them. Something will happen, but it will happen. I just know it will happen. And bro, it was so unreal. Antia, I'm telling you. So me and another friend of mine, we were just walking past one of the restricted areas at the venue, because the guard was like, "Nahin, yahan se nahin ja sakte." Maine bola, "Abhi aap wahan se nahin jaane de rahe ho, yahan se nahin jaane de rahe ho. Abhi hum ja rahe hain, let us go, forget it. Like, I don't want to get into that thing." So we just pushed back, in the sense that we were like, "We are going." And we just went through that area. And I saw Eric coming. So I nudged my another journalist friend. I was like, "Isn't that Eric?" She's like, "No, I can't see him." I'm like, "No, that is Eric, bro." And she's like, no. I said, "No, that is Eric." So, and then she realized it's Eric. So I just went to Eric because I was like, I was like, "Hi, we met and we did that interview on Zoom." He's like, "Oh, yes." While I was talking to him, Muslim comes from there.
Wow.
And you know how, I mean, it was the most dramatic moment for me, because I'm talking to Eric, suddenly my eyes go there and I realize Busang is coming. I'm no more into that conversation because I know Busang is coming.
Wow.
And I, so when he came and I was like, "Hi, how are you? I don't know if you remember, but we did an interview." And he heard, so I said, what was it? We met, I said, "We spoke." He heard smoke. She's like, "Oh, you want smoke?" I said, "No." I said, we spoke. So yeah. I'm saying that was the most surreal moment. But you know, so because they were, I mean, sharing a smoke at that point, so we did not ask for a picture. Because we are like, you know, it just doesn't seem right. Let's not. And then we just went back. And I was just like, you know what? But Ayushi was my friend, right? So I was like, "Ayushi, yaar, I think we should have just asked. They wouldn't have mind. They would have just hit the smoke or whatever." But I was again so optimistic. I was like, "I feel that we will bump into them again and we'll get a picture. I don't know how we'll get a picture." And while we were leaving for home, I saw them entering another lounge and I was like, again, I'm like, "Ayushi, I saw Busang go and Dojun go from there." She's like, "No, yaar." I'm like, "Bro, I saw it, okay? I am telling you it happened." So we went there and we got that picture. So it was like the most surreal thing that has happened.
Amazing. Yeah. Lovely. So how did we get here? We were talking about your favorite interviews. But yes, that's so sweet. You know, like, I can totally imagine how things would happen, because I have interviewed Busang as well. So I did interview him as a solo artist, and I can totally relate to it. Like, he was one of a gem, and that
he speaks so well, right? He speaks so well.
He's such a great leader, because I remember when Harjun, when I asked a question to Harjun and when he was trying to explain it to me, and I liked how Dojun and both Wusang took that responsibility of translating what he was saying in the most efficient way, like explaining what he actually means. Because when he said that, you know, I tried to match my energy level with the audience. So I remember Wusang was trying to explain why. Because he's like, because if he goes a little bit more than, if his energy is more than the audience, then that will look off. And if it's underwhelming, that will look off. That's why. It just, it's just, as a team, they are so amazing. I loved it.
So, my sister, my little sister, is a huge fan of Wusang. Like, we listened to his very first song where he released a single. It had two songs. I remember the B-side Wolf, but I don't remember the title track. But
you're like me. I never try. Like, I am the worst person when it comes to remembering names and remembering titles. Like, it's the worst thing ever. Yeah.
So, we instantly fell in love with his voice. That was really
nice. But I completely agree, because I remember even passively I just mentioned now to him that, you know, I don't think I can sing. Like, I think I should just like resort to doing this. And he's like, no, you can. I said, please, Wusang. Like, let's be realistic now. But I feel that he is one of those. Like, I genuinely had a very, very good time talking to them. Yeah.
Yeah, that's really nice. I really love how this conversation is going, where I can ask you questions and I can also reflect some things that happened in my life. And it's
because there are so many things which are common, right?
Similar.
Like, I'm just realizing, yeah.
You know, like, after getting into K-pop or K-drama journalism, where you started interviewing artists and actors, did you find yourself being more recognized among the K-wave people? And when you touched that community, how the responses were, and how do you feel socially and professionally?
Oh, okay. I don't know. I mean, I don't have a definite answer to that, because I have never actively looked for any kind of validation or any kind of community building when it comes to this. I mean, the only reason why I do is because I really enjoy that so much. But of course, I think in the last 1 year, I have realized that it is important to reach out to the community as well, because what's the point of doing an interview if it doesn't reach the set target audience? I mean, I'm doing this so that the Indian audience who love these artists can feel assured that their voice is being heard. Right. So, I mean, I realized that only in the last 1 year, because before that, I never really tried. Now, I follow a lot of these K-drama pages, right? So, sometimes I send my interview links to them, and I'm just like, if you get the time, do read it, because I just want them to know that, okay, I'm doing this. But if you ask me about recognition within the K community, I don't know. I don't know if there is any. I know that some people definitely will be reading the content and the interviews that I do. And there's an audience for sure. But I hope that it builds more. It is also, I mean, I can't blame anyone else but me, because I've never really tried reaching out to that community as a whole, right? So, but I'm trying.
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying.
Very good. So, were there any requests from the audience where they ask, you know, like, try reaching out to this actor or this artist, we'd love to have an interview with them?
Sometimes, yes. I remember when Kim So-ho's, I think, what was that film that released where he had the gun? I'm forgetting the name. Last year it released, yeah. See, this is what happens. I don't remember names. The last project that he did where he played a negative role. Okay, his last project. So I remember the fan club had reached out that, you know, the film is releasing. Can we do an interview? I had reached out to his agency, but they said that he's not looking at doing any interviews at the moment. But But yeah, I mean, requests like that, sometimes they also, of course, ask about the groups and like, can you interview this group? Can you interview that group? I'm like, I am waiting for that opportunity, guys. Like, can we all like manifest it together that that happens? But there, I mean, one on my list for sure is TXT. I've been waiting to do their interview because, I mean, for many reasons, I find their voice a little unique comparatively, like, because they come from this baggage of being the second or the first cousins to BTS. So I feel that it's very difficult, right? Like, yes, we have all seen that. So I feel that I want to talk to them once. So let's see. So, I mean, two times this has happened that it almost was going to happen and it did not happen. So, yeah, it's just sad.
Oh, my God.
I just find them very, very like nice, like, you know, as a group and everything. So let's see. Hopefully this year I have to get their interview. I don't know how.
Yeah, definitely doing that. So we are talking about the community, and as a journalist, how do you see this K-wave happening around the world? What was the reason behind the your personal thoughts about how it is getting very popular among people and how the younger generation are very much influenced by the K culture as well as the roots. So how do you personally see it?
Yeah, is it only in India or do you want me to talk like
India and
globally? I feel in India it happened also. I mean, the biggest reason of course is pandemic, because that really did give a lot of us enough time to actually watch and consume a lot of things, because earlier we did not have that, right? And once you start, so it's like it's sampling. So you give 2-3 things and you like, out of 3 things, if you like the 2 things, you will give another 2 things chance, and that is how that entire butterfly effect happens, right? Like, that is how it happened for me, and I believe it, that is exactly how it happened for everyone else, because I think it's, what is that phase where you say, you know, when once you gym in, you can't gym out? It's exactly that, like with K-dramas as well. Like, once you get in, you cannot come out. A lot of credit also goes to the fact that they are continuously innovating themselves, adapting to the newer modern society, really bringing that change, right? Like, they're talking about the most difficult things, in a very compelling storytelling format, which I feel in India, especially if I talk in context of India, it's not happening. Like, I don't find new, like, at this point, I feel everyone is just doing dark thriller. Yeah. There's nothing more that I see. But if you ask me about a K-drama, if I want something light, I have a Marry My Husband. If I want something slightly, like, more slice of life, I have Dr. Slum. Mm-hmm. If I want to watch like a good thriller or a revenge drama, now The Impossible Heir is coming. So that is going to be amazing. Something very comic and like light, I have Queen of Tears. So I have something from different genres, all the genres to go to, right? But when I talk about Indian content, I don't have that. I literally have very limited options at this point. So, I mean, it's very natural as an audience, you're seeking stuff which are new, which are experimental and great. And I think K-drama is filling that volume, because even in West, if you see American dramas, I don't see anything great coming in. Like, once in a while it comes, but otherwise, there's no one drama which is like, oh my God, what a drama. Everyone should watch it. You know, it's not happening. The only place where it is happening is Korean dramas. So that is why it's really like getting that much, that kind of recognition. And K-pop, though, I feel it's also become like a, I mean, BTS is the reason why it's gotten to that level, let's be honest. But at the same time, I feel K-pop blends really well, in the sense that it takes a little from the West. It keeps the authentic roots together, and the blending of it is very natural. Sometimes it's not also, but those are the things that don't work, right? I mean, we have seen those things not working. But yeah, I feel the reason why it's really picking up is also that. And also, Gen Z also has this thing. Now, they're open to trying new things.
Yeah.
Like, they're not like the other generations that have come who are just happy with the bubble that they have. Gen Z wants to experiment. So, this is great. And also, there's this culture, right? Like, it's also the cool thing right now. Everyone wants to get into that bandwagon because it's considered cool. Like, I know of so many people who would just come to me and they'll be like, you know, I heard that song by BTS. I'm like, that's not BTS song. No, it's Korean. Yeah, not everything Korean is BTS. I mean, sorry, that's not how it is. It's you get my point, right? It's just because they want to sound like they know.
No,
is why
it happens.
So I still remember when I had done the 17 interview like 2 years back, right? And I had so many people who came to me and they were like, "Bhavna, congratulations!" I said, "Thank you, but for what?" They're like, "You finally got to interview BTS." So I really. See, I do take offense when these things like this happen because I'm okay with you not knowing about them. It's okay. You don't need to know about them. Not everyone needs to know about it. But at least do your basics right. And just because you want to show that you've got... मतलब आपके बेसिक ही गलत है वो 13 मेंबर्स है यहाँ 7 मेंबर्स है मैच ही नहीं हो रहा कुछ हाउ कैन यू जस्ट बी सो इग्नोरेंट गाइस यू नो राइट लाइक इफ फॉर बीटीएस आई वुड नॉट बी अलाइव लाइक आई थिंक आई वुड बी समवेयर लाइक आई थिंक आई वुड बी लाइक हॉस्पिटलाइज्ड फॉर 2 days टू गेट इनटू टर्म्स विद द फैक्ट दैट आई हैव रियली गॉट दैट यू नो बिकॉज आई फील दैट इज इफ यू आस्क मी भावना राइट नाउ व्हाट्स द नेक्स्ट थिंग दैट यू व्हाट इज योर ड्रीम माय ड्रीम Right now is only to get that BTS interview. You know, like for me, that is the goal now. So I'm just like, you know, na. मतलब अगर वो हुआ होता तो मतलब मैं होती ही नहीं यहाँ खड़ी नहीं हुई होती मैं अभी फिलहाल. Because and that is sheer ignorance, right? And that is something I don't buy. That is something I don't buy.
Yeah. So now talking about how like interviewing BTS has become your ultimate goal. We can definitely see that K-pop has helped you a lot. So, can you define yourself before K-pop, K-drama and after K-pop, K-drama?
I actually can. The reason why I feel like so strongly about BTS is because, you know, I've not seen too many groups and especially boys talking about... feeling the lows, going through the lulls in life, defining the period where they were almost going to give up and they didn't. The fact that they spoke about loving themselves because that is something I struggled with the most for the longest time in my life. Like I believe that I come from a place where I had a lot of doubts about myself. Like I never really loved myself. Forget love. I never liked myself, you know. So I feel that through their songs and through their music, and when I heard them talk about how important it is to sort of like you need to love yourself first to be able to love others, and I just feel when they talk about beauty. I mean, I know a lot of people speak about K-pop and the beauty standards that they have, which is all great. I mean,
yeah.
In that sense, I just feel that the fact that they talk about it, they call it out and they speak about the fact that it's okay to be you and just you're beautiful the way you are. Like for me, every time I feel I am not feeling great about how I'm looking, I always remember what Jin said in one of the interviews where he said that when I look into the mirror, I know I'm not the most handsome guy because there are so many people around me who are. But if I wake up thinking that I'm not good enough, then I will believe it. So I look into the mirror and I say I'm worldwide handsome because I want to believe I am worldwide handsome. That does not mean that I am. It just means that I make myself believe that. And for me, I think it is so empowering, right? Like every time I feel like I am not good enough, I really go back to their songs or their interviews, because I feel that it really encourages me to just accept myself. And I feel that change came because when I got into their music and when I got into them. And through K-dramas, I feel, you know how people say to be in touch with your vulnerabilities, it's very difficult. I feel K-dramas taught me to be able to do that without feeling hesitant. Like, I felt that it's okay to be vulnerable without feeling like, oh my God, what will people think? Oh, I can't cry in front of people. No, I felt that it is okay to do all of that. And I don't know why, but I feel that K-dramas played a huge role in just that acceptance of, because of the way they handle their characters, right? Like, I feel so many of their characters, they showed vulnerability, and especially when I saw male characters being shown as people who are vulnerable, I felt like, I don't know, it just encouraged me a lot. Yeah. So Bhavna, before K-pop and K-drama, was not confident, would always doubt herself, thought she is ugly, thought that was very underconfident, had inferiority complex. Bhavna, after that, is much more evolved. I mean, she has her days, but more or less, I think I have come to accept myself.
That's beautiful. I really love your answer, and I'm really glad that I asked you that question. You really made it sound very beautiful. And
the reason why I want to interview BTS is because I have the Beat Army tattoo as well. Because I want to tell them. I know many people have already told them. I'm sure they know already. But I do want to tell them that, you know, sitting in Korea, they really impacted a life like that. It's not like I wasn't doing okay before that. I was, but they made me feel that my existence mattered and that I could still go about feeling beautiful, because before that, I never felt beautiful. I never felt beautiful. I feel that now I have, I know that maybe I'm not the most conventional looking, like that kind, but when I look at myself in the mirror, I never say I am not beautiful anymore. And that's a biggest change that has come.
Let me tell you, Bhavna, you are beautiful inside and out.
Thanks. Thank you. You too. No, but I'm just saying that, for me, the reason why I want to do that and why I feel so passionately now is only because I want to really tell them that, you know, you really changed the way I look at myself. And I really want to tell them that.
I'm pretty sure that you will get a chance to tell them. Yes.
I hope.
Yes. So, finally, of course, you have N number of interviews done with some of your favorite actors and artists. So you did mention BTS is in the top of your bucket list. So what are the other groups and actors you would love to interview, and what can we expect this year?
Honestly, everyone. Because I feel all of them are doing such amazing work. And I mean, pushing the envelope in their own way. But if you want to ask me the two actors currently who I really want to interview, but I know it will not happen because they are in the military, is Lee Do-yoon. I feel
he's
such a good. See, I told you we have so much in common.
Oh my God, I love him so much. He is on the top of my bucket list.
So you know, in a single year, he has given like the most amazing performances I was just reading one of his interviews where it was mentioned that he literally shot for them within the same timeline, and it's so different. Like, I just don't know how he did that. But him, for sure, like, he is really like on that like top list for me. Him and Choi Woo-shin. because that will bring me a little closer to my bias.
Definitely. But talking about Lido here, like, oh my God, when you were talking about healer, I was thinking about Lido Hyun because he is my comfort when it comes to actors. Like 18 again, he did this.
So good. I know, right? Like, oh my God.
Like, 18 again is so underrated, guys. Like, go watch it.
So, and his on-screen presence is so charismatic. Like, I was just yesterday, I met a friend after a long time and we were talking about Lee Do-young because I was like, you know, the glory for me, the moment he says I want to be an executioner, I was like, bro, take everything, take my money, take everything. Like, this guy is for the keeps. And especially when he goes to his mother and says that, you know, there's this girl I like and I really want to do something for her. I don't know if it's right, morally right or wrong, but I really want to do. I felt that, who does that? Like, you know, and then the good bad mother, I mean, I've cried and I've sobbed watching that
so
because especially during those later parts where the entire revelation happens, you know, your heart cries for him. With Death's Game, oh my God, that episode featuring him.
We can gush all we need and I think we have spoke almost like 1.5 hours, but...
And now?
Yeah.
But see, this is where I feel the more day I interview him, I will be a fangirl.
Get, you know, nothing. Just...
You are not so like that. I hope we both get that opportunity.
Yes.
And
yes,
we
please.
Both get to gush and tell him, like, even if it is for that one moment, that, you know, you are amazing and I feel that you deserve all the good things. Like,
Everything. Oh my
yeah.
God. I might cry when I see him. Oh my God.
He's such a fabulous actor. And also, I mean, from whatever I've read about him as a person, also he seems like a very good person.
Such a professional. Lee Do-hyun team. Yeah. So, people, if you are listening and you know someone from Lee Do-hyun's marketing team, please let them know that there are two people who are ready to gush everything about him and are ready to interview him. But it was genuinely such an amazing conversation. I had so much fun talking to you. It didn't feel like an interview. I had so much fun. And...
Thank you so much in common, right? Like, I swear, I think we are currently gushing on the same people. Same thing. Like, I think it is going to be. Yeah, GOT7. You must have been very happy when Jackson came last year. Then,
yeah, but I really felt bad I couldn't come there. But one day,
you never know. I feel Jackson is one of those people who will return.
Mm-hmm.
I feel he'll return because he likes India so much. You know, that's why I feel he might return. Yeah.
One day.
So, and that. And I, I feel it's still possible because he keeps holding this mini fan meetings and everything in Bangkok. So once, well, you never know, it might happen, right? Like for you, you should definitely try that. Wait, uh-huh. Yeah, I mean, I hope that happens for you, for sure.
Thank you. So once again, thank you so much for doing this interview and a special mention of telling how you were very patient in fixing this interview. And I should also let the listeners know how you are very human and very approachable because I approached you via message and you were very patient and also very friendly.
Listen, now you need to stop because I feel that it's very, very mutual. Like, you have been equally very, very approachable. It's the reason why it happened, right? Like,
thank you so much for doing this and I would really love to have you again in our podcast.
Yes,
we can gush about
it. Well, this is the camera that you're following right now, but
right now I'm not watching anything.
You should watch Dr. Slump. It's really
okay. Maybe someday we get to talk about our favorite actors and drama. Even have some review episodes where we can talk about a few dramas.
I would love that. Yeah. We should have that.
So it was really, really a lovely experience. You just made my weekend so well. And I really hope the listeners also had fun listening to us gush and have such a lively conversation. So thank you so much for making this happen.
Same here, Anthea. Thank you so much for this chat. And I hope that you get to do what you want to do. And I hope that you accidentally bump into Jackson someday while you're walking. You never know. I really believe anything can happen. So, because I'm going to Seoul in this month, like on 21st, and me and Karishma is also going, by the way, and we have already thought that we are going to go to Busan at Jimin's cafe, and we are just hoping that maybe he's on a break and he's at the cafe and we accidentally, like,
wow, let us just hope it happens.
And I told her that let's add B also there, that they're both on vacation at the same time and they're meeting them.
Yes, you are meeting them.
Yeah.
For sure. So once again, I just wanted to thank the listeners. If you have been listening so far, thank you so much for being patient. And I really hope you had fun listening to it. Just have a great week. Have a blessed week. Do make sure to follow Bhavna on her social media platform. She's very active. She does all the reels and dances. So you really don't have to miss all that. And do make sure to follow me on Instagram and Twitter. It's at Anthea Isaac. And do make sure to let me know your comments. The video of our conversation will be out on my YouTube as well. So make sure to check that out. And follow Believe in K-pop on Instagram and Twitter. So, yeah, that is it for today. Stay safe, spread love, and be loved. This is Anthea Isaac. Bye.
Thank you for listening to Believe. You can show support to your host by subscribing to the show and giving us a 5-star rating on your preferred platform. Check us out at Believe.com and search for BLEAV on YouTube.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.